Blog Talk Radio.
Central Conferencing. Access code accepted. There is one other participant in this conference. Please announce yourself.
McCray, good evening.
Good evening.
How are you? Is it Prophetess?
I'm fine.
Amen. Amen. We are going to go ahead and get started. Amen. Prayerfully, the others are on their way. We are on Blog Talk Live as well. Amen. And so I am grateful to be back on Blog Talk. Amen. And hearing what God has for us at this time. Amen. So we are going to go ahead and open up in prayer. Amen. Prophetess, would you love to bless us in prayer?
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you, God. We give you glory. We give you praise. We thank you for this is the day that you have made, God. And we choose to rejoice in this day and be glad in this day. We thank you for another opportunity, Lord God, to study your word on tonight, oh God. We ask that you will have your way, oh God. We ask that you will allow us to have clarity of your word as it's being taught on tonight, oh God. Use the teacher on tonight. Use the apostle to bring forth the word to teach us, oh God. And we thank you, oh God, for what you're going to do in the lives of your people.
Jesus.
We thank you for building us up. In the mighty name of Jesus, we
yes,
thank
Lord.
You, Lord God, that it wasn't you so clearly, Lord God, that a young person will understand your word on tonight, oh God. And we give you glory. We give you praise. In the mighty name of the Father, Son, and the precious Holy Ghost, we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. And I like to say God bless each and every one of you under the sound of my voice, those that have chimed in to hear what thus says the Lord. Amen. We look forward to God rendering himself unto us on tonight. Amen. Amen. And so our scriptures are coming from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and 2 John 1 chapter, verses 4 through 11. Amen. And the word of God reads, finally, brothers and sisters, pray for us so that the word of God may spread rapidly and be glorified everywhere, just as it is among you, and that we may be rescued from the wicked and people, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you that you are doing and will go on doing the things that we command. The final verse 5, may the Lord direct your heart to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Amen. In our introduction here, it begins to read, John began to pour into us, amen, and he stated that in this verse, the key verse for this is, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye heard from the beginning, ye shall walk in, amen. That was coming from 2 John, the 6th chapter. And as our introduction began to come forth, amen, John is speaking about steadfast love. Hallelujah, steadfast love. The gospel of Jesus Christ has always been faced with oppositions, amen. And as Paul traveled the Roman Europe, people from the pagan background opposed anyone who abandoned their pagan worship. Those from Greek cultures tried to preserve the panoramy of Greek gods, while the Romans argued both their own sets of gods and for the mandated worship of Caesar as a god. I realize that in this day and age, when you address bishops, apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists, and such, they're expecting you to use their titling. Certainly, we understand that in that moment we are honoring the men and women of God. However, they're putting the mandate as if they have become God. Amen? So even Jews living in the cities Paul visited reacted angrily that the gospel of Christ required formally Jewish Christians to continue the obedience to the ceremonial and ritual laws of Judaism. Some 40 years later, John faced the same kind of oppositions as a bishop of the churches of Asia Minor. And by that time, many rumors of half-truth had arisen and explained the resurrection of Christ in ways that may seem. And Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2 and 21, that the gospel was foolishness to those of the Gentile mindset. In other words, when we begin to preach to the unbelievers, the uncircumcised ones, they don't want to receive it. Amen. People simply do not rise from the dead. So no matter what Christians might claim, the truth had been something else. They rather believe anything else other than what was being presented to them, amen? And this theological, tug of war made new converts in versatility, amen? And they would go to church on Sunday, hear the gospel proclaiming, and leave refreshed with a determination to live for Christ. And as the weeks unfold, however, some gave it to the worldly pressures, amen? This sounds familiar. It's almost like every day we come to church, but for a little while we end up succumbing to whatever the world says we should do. We never really want to follow after whatever the minister is saying we should do. Amen? But now here it is. God is saying, no, this is not what it should be. This is not where you should be. I am leaving you teachers and preachers of my gospel. Hallelujah. In this text, the aged apostle John encouraged the Christians to hold fast to their faith and to their convictions of their heart. And as they was bombarded with various threats from the Romans and the Jewish authorities, from all religious and influences, John writes to pull them back to today where they first believed. I remember a song, Take Me Back Where I First Fell in Love, amen, where I first believed in Christ. This is a day where we should be, amen, in the body of Christ. And God has allowed us to already read the scripture into your hearing, but here the author is telling us to know it. These are the things that they want to say for us to know. And there are some highlighted points here where we're speaking about being steadfast and unmovable. Amen, and always abiding in the works of the Lord. Now, there are three words that demand our attention. These words are love, steadfastness, and faithfulness. And what I loved about this is as it begin to break this down, it says, since these words lie in the hearts of what both Paul and John spoke about, amen, because we're coming from 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 5, and we just read into your hearing 2 John, amen, but what the two of them were beginning to speak to our hearts about is that both of them had said to their own readers, let us examine each word in turn. Here it is in the second paragraph of Know It. It says, the word used in both 2 Thessalonians 3 and 5 and in 2 John verses 5 and 6 is the word agape. We go back to our New King James Version, it says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have been free of course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we be delivered from the unreasonable and wicked man, from all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil, And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that both do ye will and do the things which are commanded. And the Lord direct their hearts unto the love of God and unto the patience waiting for Christ. Amen. Agape love. Now, this means a sacrifice on the part of the one who is loving. We never really want to sacrifice ourselves for anything. I recognize that as a parent, we fall in line with the place that says, I'll do anything to save my children. But in this era, we won't sacrifice enough. Amen. There were some examples moving forward as we get into it, but it's almost to say, listen, I understand that I have some things to do, but my job is my job, or let's put it into our understanding, our ministry, our church. There is a position that is being lined up for us right now. There is something great in the atmosphere for me to do. But see, I got to move ahead of this thing. I got to go ahead and walk after the things of God. I have to follow in line with God. But see, if I give my attention to the full body of Christ, there are some things that are being missing here in my life, and I cannot go ahead and sacrifice what God is doing. I have to go ahead and follow up with what's happening in my household. Amen. There are some things that have to be sacrificed. Are you willing to say, listen, I'm going to go ahead and get this promotion that God has for me, because I really need to be seen as the pastor, as the evangelist, the prophet, the teacher, the apostle, the bishop. I need to be seen in that title. Or is it much more of a benefit to be there in your household and to be more attentive to the children that are happening and they're going astray in your household? Are you solidifying the things of God to better your household, which is greater, popularity in the kingdom amongst other believers, or sacrificing, not walking into that error right now because I have to give up some things in order to accomplish some things before God? And so we're talking about an agape love. Amen? Here it is. Agape demands hard choices of us, especially when it comes down to choosing obedience towards God in the face of the pressures of the world around us. The author said to us, suppose you are offered a major promotion at work that would require you to be away from home nearly every week, but your son is having behavior problems and would benefit from having you around to guide him. Will you turn down the promotion that you worked so hard and earned because your boy needs you? Or will you have so many to do these days to simply demand that the teachers or the schools, watch it, the administration, the ones that are around you, your cousins, your brothers, your sisters, your uncles, all of these people have to strengthen him or straighten him out so that you can go further in your career and so that you can move further in receiving accolades from people that don't even know or love you, or so that you can benefit yourself and receive the big bucks? Steadfast, sacrificing love. Agape means sacrificing what you want for yourself so that God will have his way. Amen? This is some awesome teaching on tonight, and I bless the Lord for the Apostle Paul and, amen, for John, Apostle John, that walked in this error that commanded us to move the way they did. And before we move forward, I just want to ask, are there any questions thus far before we continue? Amen. This is getting real good to me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Say again, darling. Hallelujah. We'll press forward. The second word is to consider is steadfastness. What it does not mean is faultless. If a shipper's commander ordered the helmsman to steer a steadfast course towards Hawaii. It does not mean that when the helmsman must keep the ship on an absolute straight arrow course. Amen? If an iceberg is blocking the course, then the helmsman will steer around it. But as soon as the ship is out of its danger, the helmsman must get back on course for Hawaii. Christians often stumble onto sin without any deliberations or any intentions to do so. But a steadfast Christian would not deliberately give him or herself over to the prolonging pattern of sinful behaviors. But the steadfastness means staying on course towards the goal of salvation. So what the author is saying to us is, listen, there is a course that we are going to have to travel, but along this course comes obstacles. Those obstacles are called sin. Those obstacles are called life. They're called mountains. They're called stumbling blocks. They're called people. They're called our husbands, our spouses, our troubles, the things that we face on a daily basis. But the thing about this is, when we are moving in a place where it's steadfastness, it should be in a place that even though we steer off course, we are to find ourselves lining right back up to where God is heading us to. We lose ourselves with not staying focused and keeping the course of the Lord. Amen? But finally, let us consider faith out of those three. Faith. Faith is unseen here. It says the conviction of God is real and that you will accept his will as your own of life. Amen? Now, there are two ideas, the expressions here in this text. First, the underscores that God is faithful. I highlighted this here. It says he strengthened those who trust in him. And secondly, the confidence that Paul alluded in the verse 4, trust in God's ability and willingness to protect and preserve the believers. This trust leads to God's love for you to adopt his purpose for your life. And this is what's highlighted for me. Simply put, you can believe that God and accept what God allows to come because God is loyal. We don't have to second guess what God is doing. We don't have to figure out what God is doing. What this author is saying is we simply have to trust what God is doing. We have to have faith that he will deliver with everything that we have asked and or solicited and prayed God for. Amen? Second John continues this idea of a divine faithfulness as the writer expresses about joy to find Christians holding fast to their faith. They're following the Father's commandment for them to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Amen. But next, Paul writes of the perseverance of the preserve of evil, the preserve and evil men. In Thessalonians 3 and 2, it says, and John wrote of the Antichrist, the spirit that is a polar opposite of what the Spirit of God is. What is Antichrist? You get to a place where you begin to speak these words to someone and they are immediately offended, because certainly I am. When I was told I'm not going to tongue fight with the devil, what you're calling me is the devil. What are you calling me by the devil? Antichrist. What is the Antichrist? Things that oppose who God and who Christ Jesus is. Hallelujah. So you have to be careful by allowing people to speak to or call you out to things that you know are not of God. Hallelujah. Each writer faced their own things here. They're faced with the gallery of folks who perverted the truth of the gospel. Watch it. People will say things about you, and they will obscure the truth of you. They will call these things your mindset. Watch it. We're talking about reprobated mind people, people that are saying that they're hiding behind the thing of Christ. Watch it. The name of it is Antichrist. These things that look like, these things that have a form of, these things that present themselves as holier things, these things and or people who walk with the religious attitude that they're serving a just God. But Paul and John were specific. He said that, listen, we're faced with a gallery of folks who perverted the truth can make this no plainer. Each one of them saw evil ones who lurked in the shadows of various deception. Each apostle warned the readers to be guarded against the deception of those who have advocated for them, as well as against the spiritual powers that lay behind them. Some people will get into a place where they'll speak into your atmosphere and say you have no power. They'll say you have no anointing. They say you're not gifted for such a time as this. But yet and still, God says that it is stored up for you, amen, that you will move quickly in this earth. He said that you will begin to bless the ones that are not unblessable. You will begin to pray for the evil ones that have prayed against you. He said it clearly. Pray for those that spitefully use you. Hallelujah. But Paul does not identify the specific descriptions. Here it is. He said, I am not going to identify the specific deceptions about which he had wrote in 2 Thessalonians 3, most likely because there were more than just one group involved. Watch it. There are more than just one person that will speak against the God in you. We're talking somebody. Amen. We know from the scriptures that the Judaizers, the ones that would follow, amen, from Paul, from the city to city, attempting to convince Paul's converts, amen, that they must still obey the Jewish laws. However, Paul said that he almost faced the civic leaders who feared unrest caused by the people who were abandoning their cultural customs of the city. So some people would say, that's not how we usually do it. Watch it. I'm stepping on some toes today. That's not how ministry usually works. That's not how this church does it. So Paul said, listen, I refuse to look like what they look like. I'm walking with the anointing. I'm walking with the authority. John and Paul were both agreeing to say that there are others that will be around you, but if you're steadfast in your love, if you're steadfast in the things of God, don't we know that God is love? He is the ultimate agape love, so much that he allowed his spirit to step down into flesh that we may have life. Amen? And so here it is that Paul and John are agreeing. They may not be touching, but they are agreeing spiritually. There are some things in your atmosphere called antichrist, called devils, watch it, called pastors and leaders that will begin to taunt your atmosphere, that will cause you not to want to love one another. It will cause you not to want a fellowship with each other. This particular love that they're spreading will cause you to separate yourself. But the word of God said, come from among them, those of you who are heavy laid. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In 2 John, he began to read. He said, I'm reading the New Revised Standard Version. I was overjoyed to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have been commanded by the Father. But now, why? But now, dear lady, I ask you not as though I was writing you a new commandment, but one, watch it, but one we have had from the beginning. We get to a place where we believe that things that we are doing, that we say, are so righteous that actually isn't righteous at all. If we get to a place where we simply follow his commandments, he was telling him, say, listen, I'm not talking about something I'm creating now, but I'm talking about something that was already in the beginning. He said, let us love one another. Amen. And in this, he said, and in this love that we walk after his commandments, this is the commandment that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye shall walk in it. Amen? In verse 7, it said, many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, and such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch it. But here, like I like to say, we say that these people that say they don't believe, yet we want to convert them, yet we not even convert, but yet we want to embrace them. We want to love on them. Why? Because they're our family members. They are our cousins, our sisters, our brothers, our uncles, our aunties, our grandmothers, our fathers, our mothers, our grandfathers. Amen. We want to embrace them even though we know they don't believe. Why? Because blood made you family. Watch it. When you actually say that I have converted, I have transformed, I have descended from the things of the world, but I have ascended into the things of Christ, my relationship changes, my name changes, my attitude changes, my atmosphere changes, everything about me changes. I'm no longer a deceiver. I'm no longer a liar. I am a part of a family of the Most High. So it is no longer the blood that makes me family. It is my belief and my faith. This is what John is talking about here. He said in verse 8, but on your guard, watch it, but on your guard, which means you need to be paying attention to this. You need to be watching. He said, be as wise as the serpent, amen, so that you do not lose what you have worked for, but, this is the conjunction here, but may receive a full reward. He said that is stored up for the meek, amen. Everyone who does not abide in the teaching of Christ, but goes beyond, does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Do not receive unto the house or welcome anyone who comes to you and does not bring this teaching. For to welcome is to participate in evil deeds or such a person. I'm going to read that King James in the 11th verse says, for he that abide him God's speed is a partaker of his evil deeds. So what are you saying, preacher? If you don't straighten them when you know they're moving wrong, you might as well say, I have taken in the pardons of their sins. I have become what they are. Even though I stand on the sidelines, I watch them, I see them in operation, but yet and still, I don't speak to those things as though they were. I walk into this thing. I'm not correcting them with love on my heart, but I'm participating by keeping my mouth closed. Watch out, somebody. Speak, Holy Ghost. It says here that the author said that the plain truth is that the gospel of Jesus Christ was then and remains today a radical call away from the way non-Christians live. My God. To the Jews of Paul's day, it was radical to suggest that someone born and raised as a devout Jew could suddenly neglect the ceremonial and the ritual laws of Judaism. Among Gentiles, rumors circulated that those Christian followers practiced cannibalism, amen, the eating of fish, and the drinking blood during their worship service. The pressures on converts to pick some easier way was intense. And there was no shortage of deceivers willing to offer an easy compromise than the full truth. So what you're saying is that I would omit some things. I would not fully agree that I said these things. I would not fully agree that I did these things. I would not fully succumb to the truth, but I'll deceive you and make you think I did. But Paul prayed that God would strengthen and protect his converts. Now, he was confident that his converts would do as he had commanded them, and that God will keep on guiding them towards the sacrifice and the steadfastness that God demanded of those who would be his children. So, the author is pointing out to us that there are some things that is commanded of us. There are some things that we must do in order to operate in the things of God. Amen? So I said, I just want to understand, how is this happening, amen? I just don't understand, God. How is it that you can ask these things of them and you can show them or show us our downfalls, but yet we still won't convert to you? we still won't acknowledge you. We still won't walk after the things of you. I just don't understand what is happening in this era that you are actually showing us who we are and how we should operate, but we're still turning away from you. But Paul said that he prays that God will strengthen and protect those that had converted unto him. Now, you have in the house of God those that will begin to pray for you and those that will honor God on your behalf, those that will petition God for you. We have these things that God has set forth, but we don't want to succumb to them. We don't want to be obedient anymore. We really don't want to have the chastisement of things, amen. We just really don't want to listen. We don't want to walk after the things that are right. And when you're held accountable to what is holy and what is righteous, we still turn. Why is that, saint? Why is that? Why do we still turn away from the things of God, even though we know God is moving and God is in it? Why do we turn? Why do we do that? Here it is. Go ahead, darling.
Sometimes it's because, well, all the time it's because I want what I want. I want to do what I want to do. I don't want to be accountable to God or uphold my commitment that I made to God.
My
Lord. I want to please my flesh.
My Lord. Was there anyone else that would like to answer that? Why is that? Amen. I was reading in my studies and I said, well, God, maybe they just don't even remember what your commandments are. He said that I am your Lord God and you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not worship false gods. You shall not take my name in vain. You shall keep the Sabbath day holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not lie. And you should never want what belongs to others. Simple things that we have to follow. And I agree with you, Pastor. Amen. It was much the same with John and those to whom he wrote. Listen, remember what he said to the lady, the chosen lady, and her spiritual children. He wrote of the gladness that some of them were walking in truth. Now, obviously enough, some were not. So while you believe your entire church is saved, they're moving through the things of God, they're observing the things of God, watch it, some of them are not. Deceivers, John wrote, had gone on into the world. The word said that they have not gone out. Begs the question of, from where have they gone? The answer is that they have gone out of the apostles of the deceivers. But just as Jesus, the apostles labored diligently to ensure that all of them that they preached was the accurate and representation of what Christ had taught. So these evil apostles spoke lies, giving them the name to be known as the Antichrist. The only acceptable response to such deception, according to John, was to continue to walk in truth, as exemplified by loving one another. Amen. Now, it was a matter of loyalty in the essence that John wrote. You say that you belong to Christ, so live like it. You say, these are the author is making it plain to us. You say, not by your actions, not by the fruit you bear, you say, by the words that are floated from your devil-edged tongue. You say that you belong to Christ, so live like it. Amen? But both Paul and John made it clear that loyal Christians is to obey and steadfast Christians. Amen? Here it is. Both Paul and John made it clear that a loyal Christian is obedient and steadfast Christian. Not perfect, but fully committed.
Amen.
Someone that has flaws, someone that has error within their being, but they're fully committed. Someone that is moving towards the things of God, but not quite there yet. They're fully committed. You could tell me all day, I love you, but God will prepare a position for you. They don't want to call in the Bible study. They don't want to come to church on a regular basis. They don't want to serve God. But God will create a situation where all of a sudden you at every Bible study. All of a sudden you got to be the one to open the church. All of a sudden you got to be the one to put on programs. Come on, somebody. All of a sudden, he said, but there those that love him will be committed. Amen. All in, sold out, no matter what it is. I'm here for you, God. But people seem to get it twisted when they say, well, we're doing this for the pastors or we're doing this for the leaders. Oh, but I don't feel like doing this for them because they chastised me the other day. Oh. We reject lies and the deceptive spirits who foster them because God is steadfast in his love for us. We honor him by doing the very best that we can, day in and day out, to reflect back on the same steadfast love by the way we walk through our own lives, the way we carry ourselves, the way we don't stand up for foolishness, the way we speak against evil, the way we separate ourselves from evil. Amen. Both Paul in his writing, in his second letter in the Thessalonians, and John in the writing of his second pastoral letter, they focused on being steadfast. They focused on being focused. They focused with their steadfastness being unmovable, unchangeable, regardless of what the pagans around them were saying, regardless of how they said, listen, you need to not abort your pagan cultures, but you have to embrace them because this is our culture. Watch it. You have to do what New Birth been doing because that's what they've been doing. I've never seen another church walk like this church walk. Never seen another church act like this walk. We are the church unusual. See, it's unusual to follow after the things of God. It's unusual for us to keep the commandments. It's unusual for the leader to bow down and wash feet in this era. It's unusual. So let us be the unusual church, the one that was created. Remember what John said that he recorded back in the beginning. He said, listen, you woman, you.